How many people are brave? Are you feeling brave this morning? Where are the brave people at? Brave's a really hard one. Brave's a really hard one. I was thinking about this during the week, thinking if I was going to describe what a brave person looked like, I might think of someone that, you know, wore a cape. You know? But if you were wearing a cape today, I wouldn't think you were brave. I would think you were odd. Doesn't quite work unless you can fly or have laser beams come out of your eyes or something like that. I thought, you know, a brave person might have, you know, some sort of superpower or a mask or super strength or something like that. Or be a, I don't know, like a, is a fireman considered brave? A policeman? There's sort of some professions that are considered brave. I'd like to put to you that being a pastor is brave. And all the ex-pastors and pastors' kids said. Anyway, we'll leave that there. Therapies later. But here's the question. We all want to be brave, but how do you know if you're brave? This is my little statement that I want you to memorize by the end of the service. It goes like this. I am brave. I am loved. I am a child of God. And for this reason, I bow my knee before the Father. I'm going to give you context for that in a minute. But I want you to know that you are brave and that you are loved. And by the end of this short message, hopefully, that'll drill down, anchor somewhere in your soul, and you'll start believing it about yourself. Ephesians chapter 3 says this. If you go to Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 7, Ephesians was a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, and he was giving them a whole lot of instruction about how to share the gospel with other people. In other words, the people that weren't Jews, that hadn't heard the message of the Old Testament, the Jewish scriptures, and now the completion of the law through Jesus Christ, he said, take this message to those people. And this is part of his instruction in preaching to the Gentiles. He says, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I want to catch verse 8. Although I am less than the least of all God's people. Now, is he just being really shy and really backward? Or is he actually telling a truth that's been revealed to him? You know, sometimes when someone says, oh, I'm just lowly, I'm not much, it sort of feels like false humility, doesn't it? Sort of feels like they're fishing for a compliment. You haven't got people like that in your lives, which is great. Surrounded by healthy people, which is great. But he's not fishing for a compliment. He's speaking a truth that's been revealed to him through Jesus, that he was saved by grace and saved from darkness into light, saved from feeling self-righteous about killing the children of the way, the Christian ones, the Christ ones, into becoming one of them, and then leading a whole bunch of people toward that gospel. Paul was one guy that knew the grace of God like no one else perhaps has ever before or since. He's just one of those guys that was able to speak out of truth, out of absolute revelation, because there was two different versions of who he was. There was Saul and then there was Paul. There was without Christ and there was with Christ, and the contrast couldn't be more stark. So what he was saying was, I was the least deserving of this grace. I was the least deserving of this grace. He wasn't beating himself up saying, I'm no good. He was just saying, I understand how big the grace of God is. And that's what I want to preach to you. And so he's writing this down for us. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace, given me through the working of his power, not my power, but his power. Paul didn't have a superpower. He just knew Christ Jesus and he knew the work of the Holy Spirit, and it transformed him. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you were going to go on an adventure to find treasure, you'd want to go somewhere that there was a bit of a myth around, you know? That if you dig here, you will find gold beyond your wildest dreams. If you get to the end of that rainbow. We've all watched those kind of superhero films. And part of us feels like maybe there is an adventure that'll take me to that sort of wealth or those sort of riches. But this is what Paul is saying. If you're in Christ, you're already on that adventure. And you're already richer than you realize. And we've spoken about that through our Generous Living series. But you know what? The riches of Christ are unsearchable. You cannot get to the bottom of them. You cannot understand the depth, the breadth, the height, the power of His love. And that's the grace and that's the joy that should overwhelm us at times and realize that no matter what nation we come from, no matter the circumstance, no matter the language that we speak, we are all one under Christ and we have an open door to the riches of Christ Jesus. Is that not a little bit exciting? This gospel today is being preached literally all over the world. There are a couple of billion of us on the planet that call Christ Lord. And I tell you what, the church will survive and thrive, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us because the riches of Christ's love can never end. So the aggression and the oppression and the whatever that's going on around the world, and please don't think we're persecuted here. We're not. We're just in a tiff with a bunch of people. We're not that persecuted, all right? We understand that in Australia, okay? Kind of sucks that we're not top of the pops anymore, but I tell you what, we've got work to do at the bottom so we can raise others up, yeah? All right? So we're not living in that space. But we know that the riches of Christ's love motivate people to live for Him despite the threat of death. Despite the threat of being isolated and struck out of families and all sorts of things that go on around the world, this is the depth of the riches of His love, and this is the place from which Paul writes. I put it to you that I think this guy is brave. I think he understands the adventure he is on, and I think he's encouraging us to go on that same adventure. It says this in verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 3. This is a great one. Grab this. Verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name from the Father in heaven. And for this reason, what reason? The reason that I kneel before the Father is because I understand the grace that was afforded me. If you understood truly the grace that was afforded you, then verse 15 would make perfect sense to you. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. So we kind of have an understanding of what it might be to live brave. But I thought we might just dispel a couple of myths about what brave is not. Brave is not just foolishness. You don't stand at the front of the battle and just go, I want to jump in there and fight. If you've got no training, if you've got no weapon, and all you've got is your own energy, guess what happens to you? You'll not get out of the battle, no? He's not escaping for you. It's not just foolishness. It's not, I just had a good idea and now I'm going into battle. So bravery is not foolishness. It's not foolhardy. It's not arrogance, it's not grandstanding, saying, huzzah, look at me, how brave I am. Because at some point, someone will challenge your bravery and you will be found wanting. It's not arrogance. It's not vengeance. And I wrote it down this way. Vengeance takes out both its victim and its perpetrator. That's what vengeance does. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. In other words, all the stuff you're trying to fix by avenging it, stop it. Stop it. Doesn't work. And when you have those conversations in your own head where no one else is in the room and you're just trying to beat that other person that wronged you and you always win, but you end up tense with adrenaline pumping through your body and you think, what just happened? Stop it! So I'm preaching to myself now. If you get something out of it, that's great. Stop it. Vengeance takes out the victim and the perpetrator. That's why God says to us over and over, vengeance is mine. It's not yours to atone this stuff. It's yours to preach this gospel of mercy, this gospel of love, this gospel of grace. It's yours to sit in that space, as Paul did, of understanding the great adventure we're on and the depth of the riches that Christ offers us. It is not yours to avenge. And that, my friends, should be a load off your shoulders. Because otherwise you'd spend all day, every day, trying to fix everything that happened in your past. I saw a little meme the other day. It had a phone on it. It says, your past is calling. Don't pick up. It has nothing new to say. I was like, yeah, I gave that one of those little happy face emojis because I'm hip to the jive. Abby, our youth leader, is looking at me with a sideways grin going, I used to be hip, I'm sure of it. Remember when you were cool back in the day, doing the twist? Was that you guys? It's getting cheeky now. It's terrible. Now I've got Chuck Berry in my head. Does that happen for anybody else? There's a bunch of people like under 30 going, Chuck who? It's all good. The gospel is a brave message advanced by brave people into a brave new world. It's not foolishness, it's not vengeance, it's not arrogance. You know what? It's also not lazy. It doesn't shirk responsibility, but shoulders the load of more than one. In other words, brave is something beyond you. And as I wrote these things down about what brave isn't, it started to remind me of another scripture, which is, you know, fairly famous. You might have heard of it. It's in a place called 1 Corinthians, and it's chapter 13, and it says this: love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. Incredibly powerful scripture, but one that all too often is just a poster. But if you let those words sink in, it can change who you are and how you go about who you are. So here's a thought. We can interchange the word brave into this scripture, and it might make sense what brave is. Brave, or bravery, is patient. Brave is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Brave does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Brave never fails. True bravery is true love. And you can't do true love or true bravery in your own strength. Because I don't have the strength. Because you know what? I would really like to take vengeance sometimes. I would really like to be lazy sometimes and still get the credit for it. I'd really like to just chill out, let you guys do the work and go, yeah, I was pretty good, wasn't I? You know, every now and again it'd be nice. Somebody else did the job and you were able to take the cred, wouldn't it? Look at you righteous people. You're going, no, Justin, that's not me. You're so well behaved. That's amazing. But if I want to carry the bravery that Paul carried, I need to understand the love and the depth of riches that he understood. And I need to understand that it was only carried to me on the grace of God. I didn't do anything to deserve it. There's nothing I can do to pump myself up. And often we need to understand that the true self only comes out under pressure, right? So when you're under pressure, when you are squeezed, what comes out? Is always the question. When you cut, what do you bleed? You know, those questions. When you're under pressure, does grace come out? Does patience come out? Does I don't keep a record of wrongs come out? Because that's brave. That's the toughest place to be, to say, I will let the Spirit of God work through me even in this place. Even in this place of tension, even in this place of pain, even in this place of my past still haunts me and people don't understand me and I have changed but people don't understand that I have changed and couldn't they come around me a bit more? Couldn't they support me a bit more? They don't understand the pressures that are... No, they don't. I don't. But you know what? I keep saying this. Not only do other people not understand you, you don't understand you. You don't. Because if you understood you fully, you would fix you. Because there's some problems with you people and I was going to tell you a few of them. And you know what happens when you start doing that? Someone just holds up a mirror, don't they? Those of you who have been married a fair while. Doesn't the mirror just get clearer as you're longer the married? Like you're like, well, you're probably not leaving now, I can tell you the truth. There's a couple of really guilty laughs going on right now. Ephesians 4:14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. We need a reason beyond ourselves. We need to understand there's a gap between where we currently are and where God wants us. And we need to understand that we all want and need a place to land. The reason beyond ourselves, for this reason, is what Paul writes, for this reason, is the reason beyond myself is the grace and the mercy of God. We need an awareness of the gap between us and our purpose. And we need that place to land. So here it is. Let's fill in the blanks. Ephesians 4:14. The reason beyond self, for this reason. And it says this. I'll find the scripture in Ephesians 3, verse 11, if I can find it here in my Bible. According to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in him and through him, and in him we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I have a reason beyond myself, and the reason is that in Christ I have freedom. We sang it at the beginning of this gathering. For freedom we have been set free. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty, right? That's our reason to come to Him in the first place. We need an awareness of the gap. And I put it this way. When He says, I bow my knee, I go from this position to this position. And this position is a little more humble and a little more vulnerable and a little less in control. And it's kind of freeing. I've got to tell you. Because if you can bring yourself to get on your knees before God, He knows that you've humbled your heart. And a humble heart is the one that's attracted to the Father God. You know? We've got to learn to do this more often. When things rise up in us, when the tension rise up in us, when the I'm going to take vengeance rise up in us, or I want to be lazy, or I want to escape, and all those kinds of things, we need to be reminded of the grace of God. And sometimes you can't just tell yourself to be reminded. Change your posture. Change your position. And just get on your knees. And say, God, meet me here. And He will. He promised that. For this reason, I bow my knee. I'm aware of the gap between me and God. So I'm going to close it. I'm going to do something about that gap. And if we can understand that, we can make huge strides into feeling that love that is talked about in 1 Corinthians, which will translate into the bravery of taking the gospel forward. And so we have a reason, we have an awareness of the gap, and we have a place to land. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? The place to land, he writes, is before the Father. For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father. We have a reason beyond ourselves. We have an awareness of the gap between us and our destiny, and we have a place to land. And I know for some of you this morning, you think that's a little too simple. And I think that's the point. It is. Faith is not complicated. We complicate it. This is one of the most amazing life-giving books in the world. But it's so easy that these words become death rather than life. Usually happens on a blog somewhere, where we argue over the minutiae and we forget to speak of the freedom and we forget to speak of the grace. It is braver to speak well of others than it is to pull others down. That's the easy option. It's easy to find out what's... That's so simple. To find out what's negative, to find out what's wrong, to point out what's not working. That's the easy thing. You are wired to do that. What's difficult is pointing out what is good, what is lovely, what is righteous. And the Bible says, think on these things, right? That's a discipline for us. And so I'm telling you that if you want to be brave, if you want more courage in your life, then get on your knees and realize that you can't do it yourself. Stop trying to bridge the gap between heaven and earth with your own false humility and your own understanding and all of those kinds of things. The Word of God teaches us over and over again to come to Him with a humble posture and let Him speak to us. Jesus gives us the focus beyond ourselves. Jesus bridges the gap in our purpose, and Jesus gives us a place to land. And so we need to understand that to be brave is to acknowledge Jesus as the one that bridges the gap. Jesus as the one that carries God's grace and allows us to understand the freedom that we have in Christ. For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father. I want you to get that in your digital Bible or your paper Bible or write it down somewhere, put it on the back of your hand. I'm giving you all permission to write on your hand. Remember when you weren't allowed to do that and you got in trouble at school for doing that? I'm not talking about when you were cheating, just when you were ignoring what was supposed to be happening and drawing on yourself. Is that just me? Well, there was a couple of guys in school. There was the guy that was always making spitballs. Did you have spitballs at school? Was that a thing? Don't do this, kids. But if you take a piece of paper and you chew it up, becomes wet and you can stick it to things if you throw it hard enough. That's not brave. It's just funny. No. Here's what I want you to know. Don't be distracted by trying to fix things yourself, by trying to get attention for yourself, by trying to, you know, engineer the world to your desires. Engineer your heart towards Christ. Engineer your mind towards that which is lovely, that which is good, that which is righteous. And engineer your day towards walking in His presence. For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father. Everybody, say after me, I am brave. I am loved. I am a child of God. I am brave. I am loved. I am a child of God. You got to preach that to yourself, because after this gathering, we're going out. We're taking the gospel out with us. And that needs to anchor in your soul, because grief happens and pain happens and tension happens. But God is good. He always has been good. He always will be good. He's a God of grace. And you know what? His love, His perfect love, as 1 Corinthians 13 says, His love never fails. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for this incredible time we get to have in Your presence. We thank You for the children that were dedicated this morning. We thank You for this church and what it represents. We thank You for the opportunity we have to carry Your gospel forward and to speak life where there is death, to bring light where there is darkness, and to bring flavor where the world is bland. I thank You that You have charged us to be a city on a hill, one that stands out, one that brings life and light. Lord, I pray that You would teach us, that You would lead us, that You would change us, and that we would see ourselves brave because of what You did for us, not in our strength, but in Your power, not with our wisdom, but with Your word. Lord, we thank You for who You are, and we thank You for who we are because of who You are. Help us to acknowledge again that we are brave, that we are loved, and that we are children of the Most High God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.